Live. Well, speaking of beautiful gardens, New Zealand philanthropists, they do, or all sorts of philanthropists, do incredible things for the community. But what do their gardens look like? How do they express themselves through their gardens? A brand new book showcases some of our wealthiest, most generous, well-known Kiwis and people from philanthropists from other parts of the world as well. And what their homes and gardens look like. It's called Gardens of the Greats, Expressions of Extraordinary People, and the authors, the people that put this together, that self-published it are with me now. Tina Jutil and Arno Dora are with me now. Good afternoon to you both.
Good afternoon, Carly.
Nice to see you both. It's a stunning book. How did it come about, Tina?
Well, like I said earlier, with Tony, basically, I must give the credit to Arno. He had the idea of this, and it took him quite a while to come up with this idea.
So let's hear from Arno then.
Yes.
How did you come up with this idea?
It all comes from us being a landscaping practice first, and the strong belief that our environment shapes who we are. So at some point, I wanted to write a book that would bring value in a different light. I know from the start that I didn't want to write a book about landscape design or garden advice, pests and diseases, so all those topics that have been extensively talked about.
Yeah, they're well catered for
indeed.
In the book market. Yeah.
Yeah, so and it actually took me 2 years to come up with an idea that would sort of bring value again in a different way and something that would resonate with both of us. We sincerely appreciate those who have a higher purpose than just being successful entrepreneurs. Telling the stories of those successful business people and how they give back and how the garden reflect their stories was something that really resonated with us.
So I suspect you set out with a bit of a hit list. You thought about some philanthropists that you would like to target. And then what happened?
From there, we did a lot of research. So there was quite an extensive time where we just researched people and basically scrolled through the internet. Who are the people that have interesting stories, are great philanthropists, what their values are, and obviously they have a connection with nature. So really it was kind of threefold in terms of identifying those people. And once we did, basically, well, it was all go from there.
So you took a bit of Kiwi attitude and just flipped an email or picked up
the
phone and said, please will you be part of my book?
Exactly. When we could find a phone, phone number, which wasn't easy at times, but we basically sent them an email and emails, people send thousands of emails every day, so you don't have a great response from that. So we put a video together, a very short video that is available on our website on branchlandscapes.com, branch like a branch of a tree with an E, and just asking them basically to be part of the project and why we wanted to have them in the book and why we were doing this project, and we got a fantastic response from there.
You have got Sir Bob Harvey, Sir Ray Avery, Sir Michael Hill, Malcolm Rands, Sir James Wallace. Those are all very recognisable names. I'm interested to hear about Malcolm Rands' story because we will know him for his love of the environment and his gift of improving the environment. Because, of course, when he founded EcoStore, it was predominantly around, he was living in his little commune up north, and he was looking at the chemicals that were going back in the environment, right? So I'd love to hear about his story.
Yeah, so his permaculture garden really reflects his values.
Him, yeah.
Absolutely, absolutely. He's, as he says himself, he's not into straight lines and flower beds. and what is very interesting with Malcolm is that he truly understands that commerce and philanthropy are two sides of the same coin. So it's from the beginning, he had the bigger purpose in mind. That means with the Fairground Foundation. So it's a very different approach. Most people would try to be successful. You know, it could be financially or the other ways, but and then give back later in life. But he did it the other way around from a very young age, which is very unusual.
Mm. Yeah, and his garden absolutely reflects his values, you know.
Yeah.
It's permaculture, and he's still up north and, you know, spending time in his garden every day and doing all those things, so yeah.
What commonalities did the philanthropists and their gardens have, be it simple things like the size because of where and how they live, or, you know, what commonalities did they have?
I think it's when we looked at all of them and what came out of all interviews, it's really their connection with nature and really the peace and harmony and balance that it brought into their life. Mm. Like, most of them are very hands-on in their garden, you know, whether it's Lady Jen Edgar, if she spends time in the garden every day, Bev McConnell at Ailey's Garden, Surrey Avery, he built his garden from scratch, his Japanese garden,
you know. That can afford to outsource and get anybody in to, you know, to do it and look after it and maintain it. So and there are also people that are exceptionally busy, presumably, because they're not successful because they're lazy, you know, and I suspect, so they all value nature.
Absolutely.
And getting outside of the concrete jungle.
Yep.
Yeah, and the book is really about diversity in many levels, in terms of, you know, their life, their work, the way they give back, and the way they interact with nature as well. So through the book, we really celebrate that diversity there.
Yeah. And given that this was such a dream of yours, and it did take a couple of years to come up with the idea, are you proud of it? Can you believe it's here?
Yeah, well, it's a fast and slow process, because obviously we work at the same time, you know, we're busy ourselves with our practice.
Everybody knows you don't make money in self-publishing books.
You know,
you've got to work a day job as well.
That's right. We're not, you know, 100% working putting our energy through the book. So we have to make the time during, you know, the day to work on the book, but it's been an amazing journey, you know, connecting with those incredible people on a very personal level, and how they have that connection with their environment, which is, it's unknown for most people, you know. We see them as sort of business people most of the time. It was humbling and amazing.
A great privilege, too, to be let into the very personal lives of some of our richest people. What surprised you the most, Tina?
I think it's very Kiwi as well, and that's what we love so much about New Zealand, is that people are very approachable. And when you're genuine and you've got something that resonates with them, they'll just jump on the train, really.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what happened to us. So I think that was quite amazing for us. And just getting to know them on a more personal basis, you know.
Inspirational.
Absolutely. John and Joe Gao, Connell's Bay Sculpture Park on Waikiki Island, are just amazing people, you know. And they're just contagious in their love of art, and just talking to them for hours and having lunch with them.
Sculpture trail that is open to the public?
Yeah,
they've actually done it as a private venture for the public to enjoy, haven't they?
They have, but on a regular basis, if people decide that they want to visit Connell's Bay Sculpture Park, all they have to do is get in touch with them.
That's the generosity of these kinds of people. Anō, what was the most spectacular thing that you found? What was the best garden, if you're allowed to pick a favourite? Or most interesting?
The most interesting garden. I think that the garden of Sir James Wallace is amazing in the way that it is. You know, Sir James sees himself as the guardian of the last one of the last remaining of the lava flow, the original lava flow in Mount Eden. So his home, Rannoch, in Mount Eden, is the most incredible gallery, art gallery. Sir James has been supporting emerging New Zealand artists for four decades, buying their art on a weekly basis. So, as you can imagine, it's a lot of art in one place. And the garden.
My jaws just dropped. Buying art on a weekly basis.
Indeed. And the garden is equally amazing because
it is
true to him and is true to its environment, its natural environment.
In fact, just looking through, it's very native. A lot of the gardens are very native, aren't they?
Yeah. Yes, indeed.
Absolutely. Yep. So Ian Edgar and Lady Jan in that regard have probably got the most, for me, the most spectacular native garden. It's really a masterpiece. You know, it blends their home, which is, you know, very bold concrete material, very well into the landscape, overlooking Lake Wakatipu. And it's got amazing, you know, winding pathways that lead to sculptures or benches where you can rest and relax. And to me, the landscape architect, Ralph Kruger, did really an amazing job in that garden. And 14 years on the track, it's still performing very, very well.
Incredible. Who have you written this book for? Who have you produced this book for?
Well, business owners that are currently looking at giving a gift to their clients and partners at the end of the year, I think would resonate quite well with it, especially because it's a book with purpose as well. You know, some of the proceeds are going to the New Zealand Arts Foundation, which is a foundation that we support ourselves, obviously. And I think reading about those people that, you know, people have always heard about, but seeing them in a very different light make it a very interesting gift. And, you know, garden lovers that want to see a garden beyond just its aesthetic, but really its deep connection with people first and foremost, I think would be very interested in reading this book, about this book as well. Yeah.
Congratulations, guys. It's a beautiful book.
Thank you, Dali.
We do have one copy to give away as well. If you would like to get your hot little hands on a very first copy, because it's not even here yet, is it? It's not here till, for a couple of weeks.
The boat is here.
The boat is here.
The boat
it's
is here.
Waiting
customs. That's right.
We do have one. They're not available at the moment, but we do have one to give away. 3920 is the number. Tell us why you deserve it and why you'd like to read it. And include your best postal address, please. And we'll draw that before 2 o'clock this afternoon. It's called Gardens of the Greats, Expressions of Ordinary People. Tina and Anoa, it's been wonderful to have you on the program today. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you so much,
Carly.
Lovely.